Okay. Hi everybody. I guess we should start. And we have a few topics from Joe, so just go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yep, sorry. Hello.
Ah, okay.
Okay, do you want me just to go ahead or do we have anything
Yeah.
else to discuss?
No, I don't think so. Just go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Then I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. We are now getting to exciting times here. Basically, yeah, we're evaluating some possible things we could do in possible things to develop, and I want to take a little bit of a deeper dive on these, and some of these we may revisit a few times. Some of them will probably just be, quick overviews or confirmations. So I've got two things I'd really like to discuss today if we could. The first one hopefully will be fairly short, and that is associating multiple organizations with a PO line. And really, what I'm trying to figure out here is this something that is particularly useful? Does it fill a gap? And the answer is, I don't know. During conversations with a couple of other libraries, talking about workflows, it was suggested pretty strongly that there may be or there's a lack of ability to track information about organizations that are not the current vendor that are associated with a PO line. So, really, more accurately, if you purchase, if you subscribe to an electronic resource and you subscribe to it for many years, as we all know, resources like the owner or the providers of the resources, they change hands. There are mergers and acquisitions, or the rights to the journal are handed over to a different company. Various things happen. So you have a purchase order for the journal of whatever, but it's transferred hands multiple times. It's the same subscription, but the vendor keeps changing. And, is there a need to track the vendor beyond looking at the invoice history? Or similarly, is there a need to track organizations that are not the current vendor and perhaps not the donor? For instance, would you need to track like point of contact or because I know the access provider is already part of the POL, but is there a need to track historical organizations that were associated or to track other organizations that are associated with the PO line? I'm just trying to figure out if this is needed and then what it needs to contain. Okay, I see a comment from Lisa that you track vendor changes in the PO note field, and in previous systems, vendor changes were also done in the note field. Okay. Does anyone else? Okay, and I see a thumbs up. And what do you do today, Lisa and Dunglan? Note field still, or?
Yes, we use no-fill. It's
Okay, and that works well enough for all your statistics and everything, or for your historical tracking?
yeah, I mean, we noticed the vendor changing in the no-fill, but like as you said, we mainly use invoice to track which payment to who. If there's a payment change that we need to pay a different provider or vendor. I think this function would be nice to have if it's possible, but in the past, because it was an option for us, so that's why we've been doing things the way we've been doing. I do think I can think of one place maybe, but this c can probably use a provider field. Sometimes we have electronic resources that well, the pricing was negotiated through a consortium, such as Neural, but the billing agent could be different sometimes. Sometimes we bill directly through the publisher, so that could be something that maybe a similar resource should we should know. There are two active vendor organization may be associated, but so far that we've been managing that the same way we've done in the past.
Yeah, I feel the same. We've always done this as a manual step, so it wasn't a big deal to track it manually in Folio. But if there is a way to keep track differently, I would be open to seeing your ideas.
So I'm just making some notes here. Okay. So the feedback I'm getting on this is that this is, there's definitely a use case for this. Able to get what you need today, but there would be interest in, or there's definitely an opportunity to improve this, is kind of what I'm hearing right now.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, does anyone else have any feedback?
Yeah, Joe, I think you're on the right track here. Ordering from multiple institutions or multiple libraries on campus and having a single budget line item and being able to sort of, my engineering library is, on the hook for 30% of the actual package price. And so being able to have that reflected in a single sort of accounting instance would be very helpful. Anything that gives you flexibility. So when you're looking at seeing, we have a single point of emphasis when it comes to ordering and receiving, but they kind of handle multiple libraries on campus, for example, and I have to pay a share of something. It would be great if I could actually see just my library's fractional payment within that sort of matrix, if you will.
Okay, and then yeah, we're probably going to end up revisiting this a few times. Sarah, I see a hand up.
Yeah, thanks. So when you for the going back to support distinction between vendor and billing agent, and so like Dong Long's example of Neural, for example, are you imagining that within the, but then above you have something about different accordions. Is it, will it be shown in one accordion that I pay both? Will I be able to pay both and they both be, I'm not sh saying this well. So like with the neural thing is we might have the billing agent be EBSCO, but we still also have to pay Neural an affiliate fee. So I always get two invoices for those. And can it be kind of like with the funds where I can have multiple funds in the same accordion indicating that I'm going to be paying both of them, that they're not just associated, the other one is not just associated as a non-vendor, it's a vendor in the sense that I'm going to pay them as well. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think that makes sense. Hopefully you can see me documenting this as I go. Oops. Two. So I'm guessing right now you handle that with two separate orders.
No, I just switched the vendor when I paid the invoice. And so then in my invoice line area, like related invoices on the POL, I can see that I've paid different vendors.
Okay.
So I just manually adjust that there. And then another case, for example, it's besides billing agent, we also give a just if you're having something where we can kind of categorize things, it kind of like in agreements, maybe, then another example would be that you have two where you, so for example, with the, what's it called? I always call it SCOPA, but that's not what it is. I always get it wrong. But anyways, we have like a, we get a credit from the vendor for open access, and then we pass it on to Lyrisys, a different consortium.
Okay, so.
I don't know what you would call that, but they're not a billing agent, right? They're, we
Right.
just,
Actually, I don't know if I need that. Yeah, so the kind of the quick and dirty thin thread solution that I kind of had in my mind as a first pass is that we would just add an accordion to the POL, and that accordion would just contain a list of associated organizations, and next to it, just a drop down of valid descriptors or roles or whatever that you could assign. So, is this a previous vendor? Is this a some sort of other licensor? Is this a consortium? Just something, something where you, and then maybe a potentially a note field where you've just got a list of everything that's assigned historically. It's not so much functional as informational, at least on my early first pass, although it sounds like we might want to look at this a little bit closer. But looking specifically at that, because I'm allowing for a library-defined list of why does this organization relate to this PO line? Would it be enough if you could just manually define that, or would you want something more structured? And just kind of to show you what I'm thinking about, we'll see how Snapshot behaves.
Joe, when you mentioned having, it sounds to me like having an additional accordion would be the simpler way to do it, because it would just be a new accordion rather than trying to change the accordion that exists that has a functional purpose, right? Like you wouldn't be messing with that. So that makes sense to me. What would then be helpful, though, would be if kind of like the vendor reference numbers, if that information then came over to the invoice line once you've linked the two. So then that information would appear. And based on that information that I would then be seeing when I'm paying the invoice, I would go, oh, I'm going to just switch this one to Neural, or I'm just going to switch this one over to this for this reason or something. And this is legitimate. Like right now, I actually put this information in the vendor reference line. So for that exact purpose, so that it kind of validates what I'm doing or supports, you know.
So I said, if multiple vendors allow account or reference numbers to transfer to invoices, is that a fair synopsis?
No, that no, I'm not
Okay.
quite sure what that means.
So basically,
I
you're
abuse the vendor reference section, reference number section, to have notes that I want to have on my invoice line.
Okay.
So I just put stuff there that has nothing to do with the vendor. Like the vendor has no bearing. Like the vendor is not telling me anything.
Okay.
Because you can write anything in there and it will transfer to the invoice line once you've attached your POL line. Or similarly, the line description in your POL becomes your comment in your invoice line. Right? So there again, I put information to help me when I'm over in invoices. In the invoice line, and I'm paying an invoice, it might alert me to the fact that, hey, this is one of these where you have to do this. So it would be nice if we are going to have this new accordion, if this new accordion would also come over to the invoice line, not functionally, but just informationally.
Right. Okay. But one of the questions that I wanted was, even with information, are we going to need any automation? Which we can probably discuss at some length. But when I was thinking of automation, I was thinking, if you change the vendor associated with the PO line, should it automatically move the previous vendor as an associated or historical vendor?
No.
Okay. Jessica, I see you have your hand up.
Yeah, I think this is where like our institution would actually want that, would disagree there. 'Cause what we end up doing is we if we change the vendor. Let's say one vendor can't supply something, so we have to go to another one. We have to like cancel the original order completely and then like create a new order under like the same instance with a different vendor. I guess that's okay. Like we can keep doing that, but like we would, I mean, from the way that we change vendors and like our practices with doing it, being able to like show a vendor history within like the same PO, that would be good for us. I don't know. I don't know how this whole thing's gonna play out. Be honest with you, like if someone's like, "Oh my God, no, that's gonna be terrible. Don't do it that way, like ever." We're okay with like continuing to cancel the POs. That's fine. At least we like have a history of the fact that like this vendor didn't work out and another vendor took over.
Right. And you know, part of the genesis of why I'm bringing this up is based on conversations with others, which is that a lot of times when you're evaluating your resources for renewal or you're negotiating contracts and so forth, it's very useful to have a quick historical at a glance of the history of the order, even across multiple vendors, so you can quickly see what you've been paying and how that price has changed over time. And it just makes those negotiations a lot easier, and it makes the decision making a lot easier. But you also, when the prices change, you do need the ability to associate the price change with vendor changes and so on and so forth. And that's really the genesis of this, because I know we've got some ability to do that with related invoices, and with the ability to change, you can just change to, the vendor directly in the PO. That works okay. But I've also heard that in other systems, it's harder to do because you have to create a new order and then manually compile all that. And
Yeah,
Kristen says,
I can see what Kristen's saying there. And like, 'cause I'm dealing with monographs, so it's a little different.
okay, yeah. And Kristen, that really is where that gets to, is I'm specific with this. I'm specifically thinking for continuing resources, and e-content in particular is where my head was when we were talking about all this. And then historical vendor section. I don't know if I'd want an additional historical vendor section, but I can see adding historical vendor as a category, and then a field in which the year or years could be documented. I'm still like, this is very, very much in its infancy. And to be quite honest, I came into this meeting really with the basic question of, is this worth doing? And based on the conversation, it sounds like this might be worth doing. Kristen, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking about, an e-resources example. Like, let's say we paid for this database to the BTAA for 5 years, and then the BTAA is no longer licensing it, so we switched to paying it direct. And that's the type of thing that you're really getting at. Like, I'm just thinking of the use cases here.
That would be, yeah, that would be one of the primary use cases for this.
Yeah, and I have to agree, like with Lisa, notes would be how we would probably track that right now. But and I'd have to think, like, from a reporting standpoint or something, would we want it to be more structured, like in terms of where you'd want to spend your time, where notes would be inadequate, because that's sort of where it comes down to, right?
Right. Yeah. And part of what we're really trying to do is basically, you know, we're learning more and more about packages and continuing resources. And we're able to do a lot, but now we're thinking, what can we do to make your lives easier? What can we do to streamline the decision making? What can we, you know, that kind of thing. That's kind of where Dennis and I are thinking at this point. So that's why, you know, like I said, is this a rabbit hole even worth going into? And going enough into it that I think we're going to continue looking at it a little bit more. I see some possibilities that we could work with. But yeah, Sarah, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, so two things. So I really like this use case example, and currently one thing that I've been doing to try to bridge this is I just when I set up a new PO because I've changed the vendor, I then type over the PO number to make it the old PO number and add a B at the end or whatever. To keep this continuity, right? Because then I can do a search on the base number and both of them come up, the one without the B and the one with the B and so forth. So this leads me to wonder if it wouldn't be even nicer if, similar to like in agreements, you could have related POs or related POLs. In this case, I guess it would be more POs. As a way to track this kind of changing over time, right? It's the same database for the last 10 years, but you have two, you have different vendors. And sometimes that's also necessary for other reasons that you do want to not change it within the same, but maybe create a new one. And then that way you could have this historical information, or you could see the progression or the change over time and so forth, because that is really, really, really necessary. The other thing that I just want to go back to the other point is where I was so vehement is that it's this automatic changing from one app to another where that just seems really, really dangerous and wrong to me. If I can make the change, if the information resides in the PO, then that is where I need to make the change. My invoice should not automatically change my PO. That is just really dangerous. So please,
I wasn't talking
please don't
about,
do that.
no, I wasn't
Or
talking about
moving.
changing the in having the invoice change the PO. I was more saying if you change the vendor in the PO, would you want the old vendor recorded in the organization's accordion if we do go that route? And it sounds like no, if you want to do that, you'll do it manually. So I'm fine with that.
No,
I'm
I
just
had not
asking because
understood that. I had understood that you were saying if you go, you're in invoices and you change the vendor in the invoice, it will automatically do something over in the PO. It will move the one to being historical and
Oh,
make the new. Okay, that is what I understood, and I was like, please don't do that.
no.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
I was talking, no, I was basically talking about leveraging the audit capability, the audit trail, so that it would automatically, if you make a change to the order that changes the vendor organization, that it just automatically inserts the previous organization in, but we're not going to do that.
Okay, sorry, I had misunderstood
No,
what you said. I really
that's
thought it
fine.
was the invoice was going to change it. So thank you. Sorry, I'm
Yeah,
glad I
no,
said it again and clarify that.
no,
Thanks.
that's perfectly okay, because there's part of me thinking it might be a nice quality of life thing, but there's another part of me saying, no, this is here. If you want to track it, you're going to track it. Kimberly, I see you have your hand up.
I think for us, it could be helpful to have it automated do that. I think my only concern is I would want it to be editable in case, like, you changed it and then you didn't want that tracked. So if that's not possible to have that edited, like if you made a mistake and you picked the wrong, I don't know.
No, I
I don't
mean,
necessarily like things that would be automated and then you can't fix it if you need to.
right.
The other thing I could see, and I don't know how much more complicated this would be, is like if you go to change the vendor, if there could be something at that moment that says, like, hey, do you want to move this as like move the old vendor as a historical vendor under your this accordion that you're talking about?
And like I said, we've done no wireframing, no real, we haven't done any like conceptualizing any of this. So this is really the best time for if it would be nice if, because right now what I'm gathering is both does it need to, and it would be nice if, because we've done literally no work on this. I'm just gathering possible requirements for how this could work. So, which is a long way of saying, yeah, we could do it that way. In our note, current practice of adding notes for vendor changes, we also note when the change takes place. Start dates could be included. That would be great. Do I have? I'm going to say change effective dates rather than dates, because there's the day you make the change in the order line, but there's also the date that the change actually takes effect in the agreement or whatever. And I'm guessing it's you want that effective date, not the date of the record being
Yes,
added.
we're on the same page.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and sometimes we have to keep it there until we make the last payment to the previous vendor before we do the change.
Right. I'll make this prettier. I'm just trying to capture all of this. And I'm assuming this is the case that you're going to need to be able to assign inactive organizations. The use case for this would be you've been subscribing to a resource from a vendor who is acquired or merges and basically is no longer in business, but you want to track that that organization is a historical organization, but is no longer in business. So marking the organization inactive so you can no longer purchase from them, but you'd still want to track it. Is that fair to include as a requirement?
Yes, it's a really good one. Like B&T is going out of business, et cetera. Paxson no
Right.
longer exists for.
Right. The caveat there is we would then have to do some we would have to do some logic to warn you if you're about to delete B&T, that you would say, hey, B&T is associated with a number of orders. Do you want to delete it, or do you just want to put it inactive and keep it as a historical for historical purposes? But that's a troubleshooting and diagnostic thing. But I am curious. I'm assuming that you would want that kind of warning, in order to avoid invalid references. Because if your historical organization says invalid reference, then you're not going to know what it is. But is that going to be an issue? I know a lot of libraries like keeping their databases clean. And this would support keeping a long list of inactive organizations through mergers and acquisitions. So just want to make sure that's not going to mess things up too bad.
I think it's good because sometimes you just oversee one of the associated POs and then you can double check if you have the warning.
Okay. And I see Sarah says she can filter away inactive. And honestly, when you're placing a new order, the vendor, The vendor modal doesn't even include inactive, so it's not going to be an issue there. So yeah, if you're happy using filters, then okay. Good, good. This has been a much busier conversation than I had expected, which is good, because now I'm actually getting a much greater sense of what could be useful. Does anyone else have any feedback or insight as to or thoughts about what could be included or things that I absolutely should make sure I don't do? Okay, it sounds like the answer to that is no. So I'm going to update this. And then there's
Actually,
another.
Joe, sorry, I have a one I just realized because I scrolled up to the page again. It says associate multiple organizations with a PO line, but isn't it actually with a PO? Because we set the vendor at the PO level, not the POL level.
So
So what does that mean?
could
What are
be
they?
it could be maybe not. The reason that I'm thinking at the PO line level and not the PO level is when in the database we actually have the PO or the PO vendor and the POL vendor in the UI. The POL vendor is inherited from the PO, but it is technically possible to separate the two. Which I know we're getting into some very weird stuff here, but the idea where my head is going is you have a package POL and you have the titles associated with that package that are, you have all the titles associated with it, but then one of those titles is no longer available there. You have to get it from another vendor. But you want to keep all the payment history and statistics and everything associated with that title consistent without creating a new PO. So that would be where that would happen, is if a package starts to break up and you're still tracking it without creating new POs or PO lines. And maybe I'm thinking far too big picture. But that basically is the use case, is if things start to kind of wobble and fall apart. The other thing is that PO lines, I believe, are what feed invoices rather than POs, but I could be wrong. It's early in the morning and I haven't had enough coffee.
So, okay. So I'm really glad I asked this. If I mean, so will the PO then indicate that we have a POL on it associated with it that has multiple POLs? I mean, has multiple vendors associated with it? Because if I go in and I can do search and filter at the PO level or the POL level, and if I'm doing it at the PO level, and then I might not be able to ever surface that other POL.
I think that's a conversation we're going to have to have. I'm going to add it as a question with no outcome yet. Because part of this is technical, and part of this is usability. So I will ask the question. I will, this is something I want to talk about with the team as well about what is technically permitted. But yeah, we do want to look at that because, like, part of it is a technical question, part of it is a workflow question.
I think it would be really valuable for us to really think concretely here because I would not want to do what you just described. So, and I just actually had this. So we were there's something called EITR, and one of the databases that was in my bundle moved to EBSCO out of my EITR bundle. And so I still have to pay EITR for something. But the other thing now is a database with EBSCO. And so I created a new PO for the EBSCO database or database that is now over with EBSCO and being paid to EBSCO. And I think that even if I had the capability of what is being described here, I would still do that because if my PO says this is an EITR PO, but then I would have this one POL line that is EBSCO now, that would, I don't know, that like, I don't, that to me would be just really, really problematic. Whereas the other description of like that that Kristen had, where also recently we had something that we were getting from Neural, but they increased their Neural affiliate fee by 100%, and it is no longer worth it for us to get it through Neural, and so we've gone direct or we've gone to a different vendor for it. And there I could see the benefit of being able to have, like, we used to do Neural, but because Neural, increased their fee by 100%, we have now switched it to this one starting with 2026. And that would be great to have as one continuous PO, POL. But the other scenario I think is very problematic.
Okay. That's fine. That's why I'm that's why we're talking it through, right?
I mean, how do others see that? How do you handle things like that?
Kristen, I see you have your hand.
Yeah. So I think if it was like you had a bundle and a title was part of the bundle and it's not part of the bundle anymore, I think what we would do is just put a note to indicate that it's no longer part of the bundle and then create a new PO specifically like for that title or database that you now are getting like from a different vendor. Is that what you're doing right now?
That's what I did, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like kind of the best way to handle that.
Okay, then I'm not going to worry about that part because it does sound like that's a case where you would just create a new PO, but then having this related POs would then come into play.
That would be excellent. Yes, exactly. Because that's what I do with my agreements too.
Okay. Okay, this is starting to take some shape. Kimberly, I see you have your hand up.
Sorry, this is just slightly unrelated, but since we're on this topic, we've not used this with the package POs, but if something leaves, would you, is there a way, do you delete that line from that PO, or is there a way to archive it? How does that kind of work?
What I th correct me if I'm wrong, but what I think would happen is that PO line would then be you would just close that PO line using whatever reason for closure is associated because if you have a package it's going to be like in an ongoing state, but you can close an individual PO line without closing the PO, and I think you would do it there.
Okay, so this is not, isn't there where you can put like multiple titles on a purchase order line if you change it to a package. This is not that case.
So I think what Joe is describing is having multiple PULs, but you can also have, like you were saying, if you clicked off the package PUL indication and you had things associated, you had those things in inventory, then you can link them into the package title section and they would be there. And then you could then via receiving an inventory, you could change things. I think you could remove it, but you could not indicate in receiving, you could indicate that it's no longer associated with that POL, but you couldn't only indicate it in the receiving or remove it in receiving, not that it's visible that it is no longer associated with that POL in that package title section where it only displays.
Okay, so there's not currently like a way to, I don't know, I would envision maybe like wanting to know that it was in there, but like archive it or something like that. But that's
Yeah.
helpful. Thank you. Sorry to
Yeah.
go ahead.
Molly just posted, because I couldn't remember the timing on this, but Molly posted the ability to unlink titles from package POLs is coming in Trillium. I know we did that work, but Trillium has been such a long release. I can't remember what was done when, but yeah, we are actually adding that capability and it will be out in Trillium. The work
But
is done.
that's the key, right? This is unlinking. So then you would be removing. And right now you could also remove it by just overlaying the POL number with your new POL number if you've moved it off of to a new POL. So, but there's no way to archive it there to say, oh, it used to be here, but it's no longer here. It's now somewhere. You can either remove it or you can keep it, but you
Right.
cannot have it kept and indicating that it is no longer actually really functionally associated.
Right. That could open up an even bigger rabbit hole because I'm thinking, I mean, personally, I don't know that I would want to do this, but I know some libraries would. But if you have like a big package where you've got, like 30,000 journal, 30,000 full text journals in this package, every month there are going to be adds, changes, and deletions. And so a lot of libraries are just going to track that in e-holdings, but some libraries actually try to track that in inventory. And so if you're archiving, you could end up with some pretty big archives after a while.
I wasn't advocating that we should do this. I was just explaining
No.
how it works with the package
No,
POL.
no. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking through the possible ramifications. But yeah. No, that's all right. I am extremely confident that we are going to be revisiting this in the not too terribly distant future. The feedback I'm getting is that I'm not completely barking up the wrong tree with this, and that there is value in at least exploring this further as something we could do in an upcoming release. So yeah, I think I'm gonna take this and work it up a little bit more and see what's feasible. I'll probably want to talk with my team and get a sense for what kind of effort we're talking about with doing this, just for availability purposes. But yeah, Yeah, I think I have what I need at least for a preliminary analysis. I think we've got a better understanding of a broad framework of what this ought to be and how it ought to work. And we'll come back to the details later. But yeah, so thank you very much for this. This has been a big help. And we've only got 9 minutes left. So I'm going to do a brief introduction because this is going to take, unless somebody else has any last minute things to say about multiple organizations associated with the PO or PO line. If not, I also want to take another look at the upcoming fiscal year's work, because that's coming into greater clarity as well. And I know there's a strong desire to see this built out. And right now, this is still very, very, very thin. Oh, no, that's previous. Or did we keep? Did I create a new one? Yeah. Okay. So, where I'm going with here, I know we discussed this before, and I think we're also going to want to discuss this at an upcoming Tuesday meeting because this is going to have very broad interest. But, one thing that came out is I'd like to, and I know we don't have time to do this, but I'd like to explore how you would manage, I guess you call them transfer funds, or like the when you're doing like a 5-year prepayment, you're pulling all that money out of a library or university fund that the money is actually gone, but for accounting purposes within the system needs to be spread over multiple fiscal years. So I want to get a better handle on, is that transfer fund something that we need to be aware of or play with? Or how does that get set up? And then I want to look more closely at basically where to manage things and how to set them up, because right now Folio is only aware of the fiscal years or the fiscal year sequences that have been created. And so just thinking of how this should be done. So I've mocked up a few things, but for instance, an early mockup says, okay, we're doing a whatever, how should we manage this future distribution? So we've got fiscal year 1, 2, 3. Or do we simply need to say, instead of assigning the fiscal year, do we just say how many fiscal years do we want to assign the funds at that time, or do we do that later? And does the percentage versus amount make sense, kind of thing? I'm just, yeah, thinking through how this might work and where we might be able to set this up. So I wanted to talk through this a little bit more, because I have heard a lot of feedback that what is happening is you place the order, you assign it to one fund, and then you go through after the fact and change the fund in the PO to match what's been going on in the invoice. And so there's a lot of back and forth because the invoice paid has to come out of the transfer fund, but it needs to get reflected in the actual fund in the actual fiscal year. I know that's a lot to think about. The other thing I'm curious about is at the point of fiscal year rollover, if you have multiple funds, or if you have one of these, you need to generate an invoice and pay it. But do you pay that invoice for the fiscal year right at the beginning of the fiscal year, i.e., you open the fiscal year and the invoice is already paid because you've prepaid the whole thing? Am I wrong in assuming that? Or does it get scattered throughout the year? I have no idea how that works. I have so many questions. Okay, Scott says we're handling this with expense classes, but I think this is desirable. But yeah, oh, we've only got 3 minutes left, so there's not a lot of time for conversation. But yes, so maybe if you could notify others or relevant people, because I know we don't always have the right people there, but in one of the next two SIG meetings, at least, I would like to do a deep dive on this, and it would be really, really helpful if we could have people who deal with these prepayments and transfer funds present so that we can get this well framed out, because this is one that I'm finding that we're going to need to be doing sooner rather than later. Okay, we've covered a lot today. So I think if there are no other questions or comments, I'm looking at the chat. All right, I'm going to stop my share and turn things back over to Susanne. And Susanne, welcome aboard as convener. I forgot to say that. We're so glad to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next meeting will be February 3rd. And with that, have a good weekend.
Thank you,
Thank
everyone.
you. Bye-bye.
Bye, thanks.